Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
They're playing back.
The National Basketball Association Finals tip off later Thursday night in Oakland, California, where the Golden State Warriors will host the Cleveland Cavaliers in Game 1 of the Best of 7 Championship Series. It's a rematch of the 2015 NBA Finals, when the Warriors beat the Cavaliers 4-2. Cleveland was not at full strength for that series, though. Star guard Kyrie Irving fractured his left kneecap in the opening game and missed the remaining 5 games. And star forward Kevin Love didn't play at all because of a season-ending shoulder injury. Love and Irving are healthy now and expected to be on the court Thursday night at the Oracle Arena in Oakland. This NBA Finals rematch is also a rematch between basketball's two biggest stars, Stephen Curry of the Warriors and LeBron James of the Cavaliers. Curry won his second consecutive League Most Valuable Player award this season. It's a trophy that LeBron has won 4 times. At the pregame news conference in Oakland, Steph was asked if he has surpassed LeBron as the new face of the NBA.
I'm not in the business of ranking or debating who's what. At the end of the day, it's about winning. And the fact that, you know, we won the championship last year and the last team standing, obviously, is what was most important to me. Us being back here against the Cavs again, there's obviously storylines and whatnot that, as a basketball fan, are pretty cool. When you have two teams fighting for the same trophy once again and trying to, you know, play at a very high level to help our team get there. You know, at the end of the day, that's all I'm worried about. It's really annoying for me to kind of be, that's not what I'm playing for, to be the face of the NBA, to be this or that, or to take LeBron's throne or whatever. You know, I'm trying to chase rings. That's all I'm about, so that's where the conversation stops for me.
The conversation about Steph and LeBron will surely heat up during the NBA Finals. For his part, LeBron was asked if there's a rivalry between him and Steph.
Steph was definitely the MVP of our league and is an MVP in our league and is a great basketball player. And what he does for this league is amazing. And then the question was asked, if I had a vote, what would the difference be between most valuable and MVP? So I gave my opinion. So obviously you guys ran with it. I don't know. You guys make rivals. I think it's great for the sport. It's great for all sports. I don't think me and Steph, we talk about rivalries. You talk about Carolina Duke. You talk about Ohio State, Michigan. It's hard to say LeBron and Steph. If there's a smaller scale of another word for a rival, the fact that we're going, you know, back to back, I think it's pretty unique to be in this position and, you know, just to have another opportunity, you know, and another opportunity for guys to write about it, for us to play it, for people to talk about it throughout the world. And, you know, I'm blessed that I can be a part of conversations.
Part of the conversation about LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers and Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors concerns how the teams have changed since they met in the 2015 NBA Finals. Let's hear now from Golden State's head coach, Steve Kerr.
I think we have more confidence having been through the whole run last year and then what we've gone through this year and the adversity we've faced with injuries. So I think we're stronger at our core, but we're very similar as a basketball team. I think they are dramatically different. Obviously, they're healthy, but not only are they healthy, they've changed their style. You know, they tried to grind us to a pulp last year playing big, and they were slowing the ball down. slowing the pace down. This year, they've added Channing Frye. They're not playing Mozgov. They've got shooting all over the place, and they're playing a much faster pace. So it's really a much different team than we're seeing.
That's Steve Kerr, the head coach of the reigning NBA champion Golden State Warriors. The Warriors will host the Cleveland Cavaliers later Thursday night in Oakland, California, in Game 1 of the NBA Finals, a rematch of the 2015 Championship Series. Meanwhile, sports fans in the Oakland-San Francisco Bay Area of Northern California have a lot to cheer about these days. The Copa America Centenario kicks off in nearby Santa Clara, California on Friday night. The U.S. men's national soccer team will host Colombia in the tournament's opening match. And the Bay Area's professional ice hockey team, the San Jose Sharks, is in the Stanley Cup Finals for the first time in the club's 25-year history. On Wednesday night, the Sharks lost to the host Pittsburgh Penguins 2-1 in overtime. Pittsburgh now leads the best-of-seven championship series 2-0. Pittsburgh rookie Connor Sheary scored the game-winning goal 2 minutes and 35 seconds into the overtime period. The Penguins are now 2 victories away from their 4th Stanley Cup championship. Game 3 is Saturday night in San Jose, California. Tennis news now on the VOA. VOA sports reporter Jonah Haskell joins us now with an update on Thursday's action at the French Open in Paris. Sporty greetings, Jonah.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The skies above Paris have yet to clear, and intermittent rain continues to fall on Roland Garros, but play has finally resumed at a somewhat normal pace. The field for the men's semifinals has been set after 13 seed Dominic Thiem of Austria defeated Belgian 12 seed David Goffin 4-6, 7-6, 6-4, 6-1 in their quarterfinal matchup. Meanwhile, top seed Novak Djokovic made quick work of 7 seed Thomas Berdych 6-3, 7-5, 6-3 to reach the semis. Djokovic experienced a rain delay for the second straight match, but isn't going to use the stoppages as an excuse for anything.
You know, weather conditions are something you can't really affect if you don't have special abilities. Other than that, you have to wait and pray for good weather. And that's what we did. Yesterday, the match was interrupted 3 times. And, of course, it wasn't easy coming in the facilities here at 9 a.m. and leaving at, you know, 7:30 or 8 p.m. But it's not the first and probably not the last time I'm going to have to face this particular circumstances.
Djokovic will face Thiem in the semis on Friday, weather permitting, while the other semi will pit 2-seed Andy Murray of the UK against Swiss 3-seed Stan Wawrinka. The semifinal picture is less clear on the women's side, where not all the quarterfinal matches have been played yet. World number one Serena Williams defeated unseeded Russian Yulia Putintseva 5-7, 6-4, 6-1 to move to her second straight French Open final. And in that semifinal, she will be facing another unseeded player, Kiki Bertens of the Netherlands. Bertens just upset Swiss 8 seed Timea Baksinski 7-5, 6-2 in the quarters and will be appearing in her first semifinal at Roland Garros. The other women's semifinal will feature 4-seed Yarbina Muguruza of Spain facing off with Australian 21-seed Samantha Stosur. I'm VOA's Jonah Haskell. Back to you, Sonny.
Thank you, Jonah. Now let's go to England. 8 years ago, Nikki Emerson was driving back from Oxford University, where she was studying neuroscience and psychology, when she had a near-fatal car crash. Nikki suffered severe spinal injuries and spent 10 weeks in the hospital undergoing intensive physiotherapy and hydrotherapy. Doctors told Nikki she would never walk again and would have to adapt to life in a wheelchair. While in the hospital, Nikki watched the Beijing Paralympics on television and was inspired to take up Paralympic sport. She now competes internationally and is passionate about promoting sports for disabled people. Nikki Emerson won the women's wheelchair race at the recent Westminster Mile in London and chatted afterwards with the energetic Andy Edwards. Here's Andy.
I'm with the winner of the Women's Paralympic Mile at the Westminster Mile Series in front of Buckingham Palace, and that's Nikki Emerson of Britain, who has quite a varied life indeed. She's back to competitive racing, she's just told me, but she retired, then after 2 years, I think, she got homesick for the road in the wheelchairs, and she's also got a pretty varied life, indeed working in football for the Premier League. So, Nikki, you didn't make London 2012, the Paralympics. Was that a factor in making you feel, well, I'll call it a day in terms of elite competition?
Yeah, I think I've always struggled with injury, and so London was a bit of an issue. So I got injured a couple of months before and struggled to get back to fitness, and then kind of looked at the next 4 years and thought, actually, either I can give it up to sport for 4 years, but there's no guarantee that I'll make it to Rio, or I could focus on my career, which I was really enjoying at that point. So I chose career.
And noticing from that career, you went to study, you did your first degree at Oxford, science, first degree, neuroscience, and then you went to Loughborough doing international relations and French and German. And, also, you made the point about Loughborough, the great sports facilities. So did that prove a factor in helping you develop as an athlete?
Yeah, I think definitely. Loughborough were amazing. So they offered me a scholarship to take a year out when I was trying to decide whether to stay in sport or not to stay in sport. So I got a good year to solidly train and just decided that actually it still wasn't for me. But they were such a great support. And I think that, compared to pretty much any other university I know, I think they're incredibly supportive of not just creating athletes, but also helping those athletes to find other things in their life and help them into future careers. So, I'm very grateful to Loughborough.
That is important, isn't it? Because I've been covering sport and track and field for 35 years, and I've see people go pro, turn pros, they say, but you wonder what happens to their minds, and they sometimes seem afraid to me to stop competing at the top level because they can't think of what else to do.
Yeah, I think that's definitely the case with a lot of athletes, and I've been lucky in that my coach, Ian Thompson, won't really let you be a full-time athlete with nothing else, so everyone he coaches either works or studies alongside. And I think that's really important, because if you only focus on training, you have one bad day of training and you feel like life is over. If you're doing something else, you realise that actually, as much as sport is kind of our jobs, it's only ever going to be sport. It's supposed to be fun.
If you haven't come back soon enough to be a contender for a place in the Rio Paralympics, are you thinking of a 2020, or are you racing again at a top, good level, more for pleasure?
I'm just racing for pleasure, so I can't do the volume of training I used to do. My shoulder is not well. So I train and I have a great time road racing, but I'm in no way trying for any Olympics in the future.
Many people would be envious of you hearing that you work for the Premier League, so you're working in football. Tell us a bit about your role and how long you've been working for them.
I actually only started a few weeks ago, but I work in the commercial department, working on sponsorship and licensing. So it's sort of the career that I've had all the way through since I graduated, and the Premier League is kind of one of the pinnacles of the commercial side of sport, so it's an amazing opportunity for me.
It's interesting. There you are. You've had the experience of elite competition, and now you're seeing it. Another aspect of it, which often the fans, spectators, perhaps aren't too much aware of.
Yeah, I think as an athlete, I did my own sort of sponsorship sales. So actually, that was a lot harder than doing it for companies. So I think I got quite a good baptism of fire of getting to learn as an athlete what it's like to get sponsorship. And then moving into football, where there's so much interest from brands and so much exposure. It's a different world, but the same skill set, I guess.
Well, you've certainly got a varied skill set. Nikki Emerson, a winner of the Women's Paralympic Mile, the Westminster Mile. And all the best for the future, not just in having pleasure racing, but success in the job with the Premier League. Thank you very much, Nikki.
Thank you. Voice of America!
Listen to VOA's program lineup live anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcasts. Check VOA Mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA Newsfeed. VOAnews.com.
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America.
My Voice of America friend in Imo State, Nigeria, Magnus Chisholm Onwudiwe, the humble apostle of the Sunny Side of Sports, he checked out my Facebook page, and Magnus saw a photo of Nikki Emerson, who we heard earlier chatting with the energetic Andy Edwards. And Magnus, very inspired by Nikki's story, he writes, "Great woman indeed. No limit to what the human spirit can conquer." The humble apostle talking about Nikki Emerson, the wheelchair racer. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending in the sports world on this Thursday?
Well, there's some trouble for Lionel Messi, of course, the Argentine soccer star. He's facing a tax fraud trial in Spain. He just appeared in court there. So a lot of chatter on social media about that. The line that everyone keeps sharing is that he claimed ignorance. He said, "I just played football. I knew nothing." So that's what a lot of people are sharing, and they're saying that he seems to have not known about this, or at least claims he didn't know about this, saying that he trusted his father, who I guess was managing his finances, and apparently not paying his taxes, or at least that's what the court's alleging. So lots of pictures of him coming out of the courtroom, going into the courtroom, and then chatter about what he had to say.
Messi, of course, one of the big stars, maybe the biggest star, who will compete at the Copa America Centenario here in the United States. Argentina will play defending champion Chile in its opening match on June 7th next week. VOA's Jonah Haskell did a preview of the Copa during Wednesday's show. Jonah, what impact do you think this controversy, the tax controversy in Spain, will have on Messi's performance in the Copa?
Well, you could possibly think that Messi won't be as focused as he would normally be because he, you know, has this on his mind. But also, Messi's had a pretty disappointing last couple of years with Argentina. They lost in the final of the 2014 World Cup, and then last year they lost in the final of the Copa America to Chile. So I would expect him to be pretty focused, put this out of his mind, and just, you know, go forward and really try to win this thing.
Andrew, I know you have some contacts. In the corruption area, are they making any tweets or posts about Messi's situation?
Oh, absolutely. There's a lot of talk saying that this is another instance of corruption in football. It may not be the systemic corruption that we've heard about from FIFA and other soccer and governing bodies and organizations, but they're saying it's just part of that, where they're accusing him of not paying his taxes, committing this kind of fraud. A couple people have been tweeting out, and I think this is, you know, a little touch of humor to this. They said Cristiano Ronaldo donated about his $600,000 UCL, the Champions League bonus, to charity, while Messi is being charged with tax evasion. So they're saying, go figure. You have these two guys who are kind of the battling back and forth, and one is in a courtroom facing tax fraud charges. The other one is donating his bonus to charity. So a lot of Ronaldo fans and Messi opponents are sharing that stat on Twitter. And so I've seen multiple people tweet that out.
Well, we hope Lionel Messi will clear up his court situation so he can play his best football here in the States, Andrew. What do you think? Do you think this controversy will affect his performance in the Copa?
It's hard to say. I mean, it's, as we just heard, he hasn't had such a great go of it in the past couple years. Maybe he devotes his attention just to the field and the pitch and just playing football, or maybe it does weigh him down. But we'll see very shortly, within, I think, the next week or so, we'll see how he does.
As I mentioned, the opening match in the Copa America Centenario will be Friday night. The USA will host Colombia in the opening match in Santa Clara, California. nearby the Bay Area of California. Lots of sports stuff going on in the Bay Area, Andrew. We got the finals tipping off in the NBA later Thursday night. The National Ice Hockey League Stanley Cup Finals, they have a team, the San Jose Sharks, from that area. Any of those teams trending in the social media world?
Yeah, I would say so. In particular, the Golden State Warriors trending as they take on the Cleveland Cavaliers in the first game of the NBA final. In fact, the hashtag NBA Finals is the top trending hashtag right now around the world. Mm. And that's because it's sponsored by NBA. The National Basketball Association has actually paid Twitter to have that hashtag be the top trending hashtag around the world. And when you use that hashtag NBA Finals on Twitter, you get that little emoji that pops up, and it's the champion's trophy that you see there. But another hashtag I'm seeing is hashtag AllIn216. Now, this is Cleveland's slogan that they're using, the Cleveland Cavaliers, AllIn216. 216 is the telephone area code for Cleveland. So they're saying, all, you know, 216, we're all in, we're going to play, and we're going to fight. But a lot of anticipation on both sides, a lot of excitement. Quite a few people that I saw predicting that Cleveland is going to take this because based on Golden State's play in the last round, they kind of faltered for a little bit. They're saying that you have Kevin Love that's back, Kyrie Irving is back, so you have the full force of Cleveland, which you didn't have last year. You just had LeBron last year. The other two players were injured. So a lot of people saying, no, this is Cleveland's year. They're going to win this. But the Golden State fans actually kind of using last round's poor performance in the Western Conference Finals as their reason why they think their team's going to win. They said, look, we were down 3-1, and we battled back. So
That's right.
Can battle back through anything. Even if we're down in the series, we're going to come through, and we're going to ultimately win it.
Steph Curry and LeBron James, of course, the two biggest stars in the NBA Finals. What about Steph? Is he trending in social media these days, Andrew?
You know, I will venture to say that he will be tomorrow morning because, you know, I go every week with friends to trivia, and we do like a kind of a trivia contest at a bar. And one of the toss-up questions we had last night was how many three-pointers did Steph Curry make throughout the entire playoffs? And I think it was 48 that he's made in the playoffs, which is just kind of unheard of for him to make that many shots. So, you know, for one reason or another, Steph Curry will be trending tomorrow, I have no doubt. But also LeBron or maybe, you know, some of the other players, depending on their night. But it's going to be the talk of social media, certainly sports social media, for the next few days for sure.
Andrew, are any other topics trending in the sports world?
Yes. Well, we have finally, after days of rain, the French Open back in action. And we have the semifinals set. So you're going to have Andy Murray and Stan Wawrinka, who's the defending French Open champion, in one semifinal on the men's side. And you're going to have Novak Djokovic taking on Dominic Thiem of Austria on the other side. And then you have on the women's side, they just actually finished up the quarterfinal matches just now. Serena Williams came through after a scare. She was down one set and four games all in the second set. She came back to win it 5-7, 6-4, 6-1. So she battled through. A couple people actually saying, I want Serena on my basketball team or my hockey team playing defense because she played such defense on the courts at Roland Garros. They said she could just, you know, put a pair of ice skates on her, put her on the hockey rink, and she'll do quite well. But she took on, or she will be taking on, excuse me, Kiki Bertens. Kiki Bertens is not even ranked, and she has come through. She's beaten some top-ranked players to get to the semifinals. And then you have on the other side, you're going to have, just looking here now, Sam Stosur, who is a former champion. Sam Stosur actually previously beat Serena Williams.
Okay.
So you're going to have her playing Garbin Muguruza of Spain, who gave Serena a scare. I think she actually beat Serena in previous years at the French Open. So it's going to be a good semifinal matchup, and it's going to be a good final as well, for sure.
On the men's side, Andrew, maybe a rematch between Wawrinka and Djokovic?
That's what a lot of people are wondering. They're thinking that Djokovic is going to sail through against Dominic Thiem, who's ranked 13 in the world. That semifinal match between Murray and Wawrinka, you know, either one of those players that wins, they say it's going to be a great final matchup with Djokovic. Either it's going to be Wawrinka and Djokovic from last year, the rematch, or Murray and Djokovic, the number one and the number two in the world.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
And that wraps up the June 2nd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Under President Barack Obama's landmark Power Africa initiative, the U.S. Agency for International Development, or USAID, recently launched a new assistance program that aims to improve power distribution performance and increase connections in Nigeria. The two-year agreement will provide management consultation to three Nigerian distribution companies. The agreement will also advance major infrastructure investments and strengthen systems in the distribution companies. U.S. Ambassador James Entwistle witnessed the signing in Abuja between USAID partner Power Africa Transactions Reforms Program and the chief executives of the Abuja, Benin, and Eco Distribution Companies. We believe that distribution companies are the starting point for improving the entire power sector value chain, said Ambassador Entwistle. Through improving the performance of distribution companies, we will see increased electricity supply and access. Our joint efforts will improve the lives of countless Nigerians and serve as a model for other African countries. Announced by President Obama in 2013, Power Africa is working with sub-Saharan African governments, the private sector, and other partners, including Nigeria, to add more than 30,000 megawatts of cleaner, more efficient electricity generation capacity and 60 million new connections by 2030. The initiative has already helped financially close over 4,000 megawatts worth of transactions, representing almost 14% of the initial 30,000 megawatt goal. In Nigeria, Power Africa supports the strengthening of the energy sector through credit enhancement, grants, technical assistance, and investment promotion efforts. Power Africa is also working to mobilize affordable and long-term financing to support capital and operational expenditure requirements for successor generation and distribution companies to accelerate electricity market development. The United States is proud to partner with Nigeria to help meet the country's power needs for a better future for the people of Nigeria and Africa.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I'm Douglas Impoga. Join me for Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC. We'll take an in-depth look at an African news topic important to you. We'll have African journalists and expert guests share their ideas on the topic at hand. So, please plan to be with us every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on The Voice of America.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica at voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
Feast with your ears on Music Time in Africa, your connection to the best Pan-African music. Hello, this is Heather Maxwell inviting you to join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC. Every show brings you the best music from across the continent. Old songs you know and love, and new songs to discover. You'll meet artists, too. Listen to Africa's superstars and rising stars in exclusive, unplugged interviews on the radio or on my YouTube channel. Search for Heather Maxwell, Music Time in Africa. We play only the best. Right here on VOA Africa.